With the 16th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jahan Dotson, wide receiver, Penn State.
Welcome back to this edition of the Sports Mix on Talk Radio WRNR and TV 10. Talk a little draft, specifically Commanders picking Jahan Dotson at number 16 after trading back and losing out on another receiver, Chris Olave out of Ohio State, as the Saints picked him up with the draft pick they traded. We're now joined on the phone by Joe Smeltzer. He covers Penn State, I believe, for Penn State. What is it?
Says right there on the TV. Oh.
Penn State Sports Now or
Nittany Sports Now.
Excuse me. He covers them. And welcome to the program, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
We're doing good here. Washington got a receiver. Not the receiver that Colin and I thought would be potentially a receiver, but a pretty good receiver there out of Penn State who is a speed guy as well.
He is a speed guy, but what Jahan Dotson's best known for is his hands and his ability to catch the football. You don't see Dotson drop on many balls or make mistakes that way. He's very fundamentally sound. He'll catch the ball, and then, as you mentioned, with the speed, once he catches it, he can run pretty far with it, and he's explosive. And also explosive in the punt return game at times, too. He ran a kickback for Penn State against Michigan State in 2020 at Beaver Stadium. So he's a guy that can do a lot of things. He can catch the football. I think his main strength is catching the ball. And then, as you mentioned, he can run with it pretty well, too. So a pretty complete receiver and player, I think, the Commanders are getting in Jahan Dotson.
Hey, Joe, this is Nick Verzolini. A lot of people are saying that this pick is a reach for where Washington took him. Do you agree with that statement, or do you think this is a good value pick for the Commanders?
I think it might be a reach slightly, you know, going back into the draft. I never filled out an official mock draft, and if I had to guess, I thought Dotson would have gone somewhere in the early to mid, maybe even late 20s to a team like Green Bay or Kansas City. But thinking about it, a lot of places, I think the most common ranking I saw with Dotson in the draft prospects was number 6, and he was the 5th receiver taken. So not really too much of a reach. I think the common expectation was that once one receiver was taken, so the first one being Drake London from USC, once that first receiver went on the board, they'd start falling, and they did start falling with the 2 Ohio State guys, and then Dotson being the 5th receiver taken. So in short, he was projected as the 6th receiver and ended up being the 5th receiver taken. So maybe a little earlier than expected at 16, but I think overall, not really too much of a reach now.
Hey, Joe, it's Colin. Thank you for coming on here to the Sports Mix with us. Will Dotson make an impact immediately? Washington wanting a wide receiver number 2 to go into the season with alongside Terry McLaurin. Can he be that guy that Washington fans are hoping he is?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. You know, a receiver isn't like a quarterback where you have a quarterback, only one guy can start. There can be 3 guys starting in a receiving corps. So I think Dotson's going to play right away. A lot of his impact, of course, with any receiver will depend on the quarterback. So how well Carson Wentz is able to adjust to Washington will impact Jahan Dotson and the rest of that group, for better or worse. But Jahan Dotson has kind of thrived in the past few years on not ideal circumstances, which I think comparing the Washington Commanders to Penn State hasn't had great success the past 2 years, being 11 and 11, total. But Jahan Dotson has had great individual success. A lot of people say Carson Wentz isn't the best quarterback. A lot of people say the same about Penn State's quarterback, Sean Clifford, and Dotson still had great success. So I think Dotson is used to kind of those not ideal circumstances. Obviously, as anybody who played in that pandemic college football season in 2020 would be. So I think he'll start right away. And I think, as I said, it's going to depend a lot on Carson Wentz, but I would expect him to make an impact pretty quickly for Washington.
And you bring up Carson Wentz there, and now he's got 2 deep ball options and Curtis Samuel as well. You know, obviously not a forte to talk about the Commanders, but how much do you think Dotson will add to the ability to have a big air raid offense?
I think he'll add, and I think what he'll give them is a steady presence. Looking at an analysis done by Matt Hardman, excuse me, who's a college NFL draft insider, he broke it down on a site called Reception Perception, said that Dawson had the best hands in the draft, which I alluded to before, lowest drop rate in the draft, fourth in contested catches, so he's able to make those combat catches, as Steelers coach Mike Tomlin calls them. Contested, not afraid to take a hit and hold on to the ball. He's also very good in zone coverage, so he can do well on one-on-one in man, or if the other team runs the zone defense, he can beat the zone. 96th percentile success rate, according to Hardman. And then Hardman's player comp is Doug Baldwin, who obviously has had a lot of success for the Seattle Seahawks over the past decade. So, yeah, to answer your question, obviously I'm not an expert on the Commanders, but I think the type of player that Dawson is, he's a very complete player. Undersized, he's under 6 feet, which is undersized, but I won't worry too much about that because of how well he plays the game, how high his football IQ is, and how fundamentally sound he is. So I think really no matter what team he would have went through in this draft, he would have fit in with his offense because he's not, you know, a one-trick pony. He can do everything well. So.
And, Joe, we know you're a Steeler fan. We air a few Steeler games here on the station. So what's your thoughts on the Kenny Pickett pick?
It's funny. So I actually, unfortunately, I had the pick spoiled for me before Franco Harris announced it on television. So I didn't have that jaw-dropping reaction that a lot of people did, which I felt a little bad about. But in the days leading up to the draft, I was reading, I think it was Todd McShay reported that there wasn't going to be a quarterback taken before 20. I didn't believe it. I don't think a lot of my Steeler fan friends believed it. But then you see they're going down. Carolina doesn't take a quarterback. Atlanta, Seattle, they all pass. The Lions trade up. They don't take a quarterback. The Saints have three picks. They don't take one. And then once it got to the 18-19 range, it was pretty clear that the Steelers were going to take either Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. And once pick 19 went, I thought it was going to be Willis because that was the common theme, was that they were really high on him and he would have been the one they were taking. But then Franco said the name. The city went crazy. I'm not a Pitt fan, so I didn't have the same enthusiasm, I guess, that my friends who are Pitt fans did. But talking about what Kenny Pickett could do for the team, he's very pro-ready, almost 24 years old. He's experienced, 5 years of college football experience, and then obviously anybody who follows college football saw what he was able to do with Pitt in that historic season last year. So I think he's very pro-ready. I don't know if he beats out Mitch Trubisky to start week one, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's the starting quarterback for the Steelers at some point in 2022.
That's what I was going to ask you, is that quarterback duel now between Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. Is it going to be much of a competition, or do you think Tomlin sticks with Trubisky?
It's hard for me to see Trubisky not starting week one. I think for that to happen, Colin, Kenny Pickett would really have to stand out in training camp in the preseason. And not that he's not capable of doing that, but I'm a little higher on Mitch Trubisky than a lot of people are. I think he's a mobile quarterback. I think he fits into Matt Canada's offense well, which is one of the reasons why the Steelers signed him as a free agent. He's mobile, definitely compared to Ben Roethlisberger, anybody's mobile. But this is going to be year two of the Matt Canada offensive era, and Trubisky's really the first quarterback that can fit into that offense. And, you know, the system is – offensive system is really a big thing that would determine any quarterback success. I think Trubisky is a good fit, and I don't think he's going to light the world up, but because I'm a little higher on him than a lot of people are, that, of course, would make it harder for me to see Trubisky not winning that job week one. So we'll see what happens when the season plays out. Maybe it'll be a Justin Fields, Andy Dalton situation that the Bears had last year where Fields took over, or a Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield, he got beat out by two rookie QBs for the Browns and Chargers, respectively. Maybe it'll be that way. But I think Mitch Trubisky can surprise some people. And for that reason, I definitely see Trubisky starting week one, and we'll see what happens after that. Definitely the first few games barring an injury, I think Trubisky's going to be the guy.
And final question here, what are some other Penn State guys to look forward to in this draft here as rounds 2 and 3 tonight and the rest are tomorrow? Who are some guys you think going to go off the board in the second and third, maybe even fourth, fifth rounds?
Well, talking about the second round, I definitely think Jaquan Brisker and Arnold Evercetti are both going to go at some point, probably early on in the second round. Brisker's the safety, Evercetti's the defensive end. Brisker, I think, next to Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame, who went at 14, is as good or better than any other safety in the draft. I think he had first-round value. I think whatever team gets him, it's going to be a steal. He has great instinct, high football IQ, is very strong, great athletic ability, and he's kind of had to fight his way through the JUCO ranks. He was at Lackawanna Community College before he came to Penn State in 2019. So he wasn't a blue-chip guy coming out of high school, started at JUCO, worked his way up in Penn State's defensive backrooms, and eventually became one of, if not their best defensive player last season as an All-American. So I think whatever team gets Brisker is going to be a steal. And then the same with Arnold Evercetti. Arnold Evercetti had a meteoric rise from Penn State. Kind of an interesting story with him is he was from Cameroon originally and immigrated to the United States at 13. Took up football at a high school in Silver Spring, Maryland. Went to Temple for 4 years and then transferred to Penn State as a grad transfer and really kind of became one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten. So Mel Kiper actually had Evercetti going, I think, at 24 in the first round. So whatever team gets him in the second round, I think could get first-round value too. So those are two guys I'm definitely focused on. Other guys, Rasheed Walker, an offensive lineman, Brandon Smith, a linebacker, those guys I think will definitely go in the third round, if not sneaking into the second. And then Jordan Stout, the last player I'll touch on, he's going to be the top punter selected in the draft. And obviously, punters, it's really hard to predict where they're going to go, so they're going to go more to the late round Saturday, if any. So we'll see where Stout ends up, but I think wherever he ends up, he's going to be the top punter selected in the draft as a Ray Guy Award finalist. So yeah, Brisker, Ebiketti, Stout, Walker, and Brandon Smith are probably the main names I keep an eye on from Penn State over today and tomorrow and the rest of the draft.
Joe Smelter, Nittany Sports Now writer, our guest. Thanks for coming on and giving us some insight about Dotson and other guys from Penn State that could be drafted. Colin, do you want to say any final words to your friend?
Thanks, Joe, for coming on. Keep in touch, and maybe we can get you down here for when the Buccos are in Baltimore.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks for the time, Joe. Have a great day.
You too.
That was Joe Smelter, Nittany Sports Now reporter. Covers the Nittany Lions. There was actually earlier today at the press conference for the new AD, as they named a new AD from, I believe he is from Boston College.